Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Let's try and see Pastor Carlos. Can you hear me?
Very well. I can hear you very well. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Pastor. How are you?
Very well. The Lord is keeping. How is it your side?
I am well. I am well. Thank you very much, Mfundis. All right. We're getting into our daily focus, Mfundis, balancing faith and freedom. And today, we're setting boundaries and guiding values, balancing faith and freedom. Raising children, quite frankly, Mfundis, is a daunting task. But to raise children with strong values without stifling their individuality is another story altogether. And I suppose it can feel like walking a tight rope. So how do we as parents balance faith-based boundaries with kids' freedom to explore? That's a question that we need to grapple with today. Let's talk about it, Mfundis. What boundaries are essential to help children understand biblical values in a secular world?
Thank you. I think you bring up a very, very interesting topic. Because God does not enjoy worship that comes out of, you know, people who are compelled by other people or circumstances were made to be free beings. Freedom means the ability to choose what we want to do. And choosing what is right is what God would want. If you look at texts like Isaiah, the Bible says, come now, let us reason together. God wants people to still exercise their individuality, to reason out things and make decisions that are right before God.
Right.
So it's a very, very fundamental principle. People should be taught to reason out, do what they want, but have influences that help them to want to do what is right.
Sometimes children, Mfundisi, feel as though you are restricting them and you're stopping them from living their lives and you are stifling their dreams, their growth. They want to live their best life. And so we now need ways, Mfundisi, ways in which we can manage it. How can parents communicate the importance of these boundaries without seeming restrictive?
The Bible says, train up a child in a way that they should walk. When they are of age, they will not depart from it. It's really about, for those who still have the chance to train up children before they have grown old, it's very important to take charge of the period from 0 to 3. This is where most of the values are formed. This is where most of the personality is shaped. 0 to 3. From the time the baby is in the womb, let mothers learn from Manoah's wife. Remember the story of Manoah. The story of Manoah is very clear. The angel went to Manoah's wife and said, take no alcohol. People are now struggling with people who are so addicted to alcohol. But maybe they started taking this alcohol before they were born. Maybe they started taking this shisha and this smoking where they were still in the womb. Parents, upon conception, should be careful about their habits because the training of a child begins even before the child is born. Very, very important. Let mothers who are expecting start practicing Christianity. Let mothers who are expecting start grooming their children before they are born so that those natural habits of goodness start even before they are born. The golden period is the period from 0 to 3. Very, very critical. Even when that child is grown up, they will not depart from that. But even when the child has gone past 3, it's not too late to still infuse them, to teach them to reason outright. So that the will, God wants the battle between good and evil, the battle for the will. We don't want people to do things because they have to. Let them do things because they want to do what is right.
Let's talk about the how to have these conversations, Mfundisi, particularly when we're talking about peer pressure and biblical values. How do we have these conversations? What do we say? How do we broach these conversations about peer pressure and biblical values to our children?
My view is that it has to be a very, very friendly and cordial atmosphere. The language should not be harsh and imposing, not be military, you know. Let the language be friendly so that you win the heart. it's very easy to get allegiance out of fear. But let the language, let the words be carefully chosen so that they don't appear like it's a forced matter or it's something that they have to do to only to please parents in their presence. But let it be a persuasive tone when it comes to teaching children. Well, let them fall in love out of their own volition, falling in love with what is right. Once the heart has been won, then definitely everything else will fall into place. So my view is that, one, let's mingle with them. Let not parents be strangers to their children. Let's be there for them in their other facets of life. Let's have time to play with them. Peer pressure is good. I want to submit to you this afternoon that peer pressure is good. Let that peer pressure be good pressure. Let the parent be part of the peer. Be your child's peer. You know, talk to them nicely.
How do you do that, Mfundisi? I'm not quite sure if I'm able to understand what you're saying. How does a parent who is inherently not a peer become a child's peer by virtue of experiences? We're not their peers. By virtue of age, we're not their peers. By virtue of time spent on these various object lessons, we're not peers. Interests, we're not their peers. There is no way in any way, shape, or form we are their peers. So how is the pastor suggesting we must be peers to our children?
Actually, if you look at the attribute of peer pressure, why do peers have pressure on each other?
Because of commonalities.
They spend much time together.
No,
they talk about these things together.
The idea of peer pressure is defined by the term peer pressure. You have to be a peer. My question is that how do we become peers? Because some peers don't even spend time with your children. By virtue of those children being far away over there and them looking cool, your children, because they are peers, they don't spend time with that child. By virtue of being peers, they fear, like, I'm missing. I want to be like that child that I don't spend time with.
Yeah.
And so they do things that those children are doing. And that's the efficacy of peer pressure.
Yeah. So my submission now is that let's have the same, let's also be role models to our children the same way they regard their peers as role models. Let's be of influence to our children the same way their peers are of influence to them. Because if we also accommodate their interest in our day-to-day interactions with them, we will have some form of authority grip over the choices that they make. I want to dress like my friend next door because I admire her. Why can't they be something that makes them admire their parent in such a way that they can open up and really allow them to influence them even to a greater extent than what their peers do? Let the parents' pressure, you know, be the one to reign supreme more than the pressure from the peer. I don't know if I phrased it in a way that's easy to understand for our audience.
I hear you. I think you've answered even the other questions I was about to ask Mfundisi. Thank you very much for your time, Mfundisi.
Because peers are fun, let the parents also be fun.
Right.
So
right.
that when the parent is exerting some form of influence on the child,
right.
it's real.
Right.
But if the parent is divorced from everything else that happens in the life of a child,
right.
it becomes difficult to really take charge of what the child is going to find useful and more progressive.
Got it. I hear you. I hear you. All right, we pick it up tomorrow again. Some more of these lessons that we're learning from you. We really appreciate them, Mfundisi. Thank you very much for your time and your insights. Let's meet again tomorrow. Have a wonderful day further.
God bless you.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi.
Don't just exist, live. Live on AWR SID Media.